Amen. I'm also excited about jumping into this brand new series today, a series about relationships. And I'm calling it the arithmetic of relationships. Say, Pastor Darrell, arithmetic is a math term. I get it. Math is hard. And relationships are hard. And we're talking about the arithmetic of relationships. And you can actually see the mechanics of arithmetic on the screen. And that will make more sense as we do some teaching today and over the next couple of weeks. But the truth is, our relationships of all kinds, are harder than ever. Whether it is your marriage relationship or co-worker relationship, or maybe it's parent-teacher relationship, or maybe you're just trying to get away from a creepy uncle. I don't know. Relationships are challenging. And I even believe we are feeling more tension than ever among our friend sets, our friend relationships, people who are close friends to us and with us. And a lot of that is because of such great differences politically and culturally. I have someone in my life who has been a friend for many years, who a couple of years ago just started saying, you know, if people do not think like I think politically, then I'm just done with them. I'm cutting them off. And I would challenge that. I've argued with that. Like, what in the world? You know, I guess that means we're going to have to part ways, because I know we don't see eye to eye on everything. I mean, where has this tension come from? Where have these strong attitudes come from, to the point that, you know, when there used to be a time that we cared more about that person than we did our opinion or our thought or our idea? But that's led me to realize something. That's led me to understand something, and it's actually freeing. And I believe it's going to free you today. I believe it's going to bless you today. And I believe it's going to help you in this series. What is that? Here it is. You are not meant to do life alone, but you're also not meant to do life with everyone. Selah. I'm not meant to do life alone, but I'm also not meant to do life with everyone. And that may challenge your thinking a little bit, because, you know, we're raised by the golden rule, and we just believe that we have to love everyone. And I don't disagree with that. I need to love everyone, and I'm working on that, and pray for me. But sometimes loving you properly means you and I keeping some distance. Sometimes loving you with the love of Jesus, because otherwise I'm gonna hurt you if you stay in my face any longer. Can we talk in this series? Can we be honest? Because relationships are hard, challenging. They are a pressure to us. At the same time, we have to work at them. If you are one of these people who are saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, I don't care what anybody does, everybody just leave me alone and let me sit in this recliner and look at my TV and not bother with anybody else, I'm gonna tell you that's not God's will for your life. Because you're not meant to do life alone, but you're not meant to do life with everyone. Because the truth is, God's plan for our lives includes people. God's plan for our lives includes people. And I'll go a step further and suggest that his plan for our lives includes lots of people. And all of my introverted and, you know, I just like being alone friends are getting nervous right now. No, Pastor Darrell, just everybody leave me and my cat. Because there's always multiple cats. When you like to be alone, just leave us alone. No, you're not meant to do life alone, but you're also not meant to do life with everyone. Why? Because everyone who is good to you is not good for you. We got to get that. We got to get that as we mature, as we become, as we walk in our purpose, as we understand everything that God has for us. We have to realize that everyone who is good to me is not good for me. And I don't have anyone in mind. I've not thought of anybody while preparing these teachings. You and Jesus are going to have to do work in this series. You're going to have to pray and ask God about who needs to be in your life. This is not permission to cut everybody out. This is not permission to cut everyone off. This is not permission to file for divorce. This is none of that. This is, Lord, let me do the work, and I want you to help me, because I realize some of the people that I'm keeping around are not good for me. Our only connection is that we went to high school together. Their life is going one way, my life is going another way, and we keep trying to find common ground, and there is no common ground, and I just need to resolve to seeing them once every 10 years at the reunion to check on how much weight they've gained, and beyond that, leave them alone. I've had one of these people in my life. Someone I was close friends with, and I kept seeing things, and I kept witnessing things, and I kept hearing things until I just knew this relationship is not God's will for my life. I still have their number in my phone. If it were to ring today, I could pick up, I could make sure that they are okay, I could check on their kids, I can bless them, but we just don't need to be in one another's life. They have different values than I have. They have different morals than I have. It's just not what is good for me. So even though they have good about them, it's not a judgment thing. It's not a I'm better than you thing. We're just like oil and gas. We just don't need to be in the same room for very long. And so I give you permission to go your way, and I go my way, and we wave at one another from a distance, but I've realized that this is not what I need in my life. And that may sound like, whoa, wow, that's heavy, but it's just truth, and it's just reality. And for some of you, the stress in your life is not about what the devil is doing. It's not about what the enemy's doing. It's about relationships that are not functioning properly or spiritually or healthily in your life. And I need to do the arithmetic. Because, you know, we've had this social distance mayhem the last few years. Whether it's masks, or 6 feet apart. We have this new comfort with being disconnected from one another. And it's not good. It's not helping us. I believe we are interaction deprived. I visited someone in our local jail this week. And I didn't realize, I knew it on one level, that people are not allowed in the jails. Families are not allowed in the jails. And I thought attorneys and clergy were allowed because I went in one other time, but of course I was having to make phone calls and having to get around certain protocols and things. And so I go back again and they're saying, no, sir, that was a one-time permission. You cannot go into the jail. No one can go into the jail except for attorneys. And I'm standing there scratching my head. You're telling me that for the last 3 years there are inmates in this jail that have had zero interaction with their families? I don't care what they did. Some of them didn't do it. It doesn't matter what mistake they made. Do you think there's any hope of getting out of their mental situation or their wrongdoing without someone loving them through it? Social distance has not been kind to us. It has not helped us because man was not wired for loneliness. It hurts us mentally. It hurts us spiritually. But the other side of that coin is that we are not supposed to just connect without caution. We shouldn't join without adjudicating. We shouldn't follow without some fear. Without some, let me know them who are in my life. Why? Because this is 23 and me. And we made some decisions in January about how we wanted this year to go and what we wanted this year to look like when we get to December 31, 2023. We want to be able to look back and say, look what God has done. And look how God has blessed. And look how the Lord has worked. And look how He has anointed me, and look how He is using me in my purpose and in my passion. But in order for that to happen, our next big step will be praying for discernment in our relationships, because we need more intentionality than randomness. We need godly wisdom to guide us toward His will for our lives. And as much as I believe we are not built for loneliness, I will say that it's better to be alone than to be with the wrong people. We're just in the introduction. You don't ever miss week one of a new series because I'm processing and working. I don't want to be lonely, but I also don't want to be with the wrong people. And I'll take that a step further. As long as the wrong people are in your life, the right people cannot come. What does that mean? It means if positive Paul sees you hanging around negative Nancy, he will not come any closer because Paul will not do the negative. And so he keeps his distance. And all the while you're thinking something's wrong with Paul. Paul's saying, no, I just don't do drama. So in order to keep peace, I've also got to keep distance. So that may require you to say goodbye before you say hello. Well, you know, I know I need to probably clean up my friends list. I'm just kind of having fun right now. And when he shows up, then I'll get busy about that. He can't show up. Whenever she comes into my life, then that's when I will take care of what needs to be taken care of. But no, if right folk see you hanging with wrong folk, they will steer clear, and you say, Pastor, that sounds real judgy. I know, because discernment is often mistaken as judgmental. Ooh, I'm teaching today. I'll go a step further. God will not choose your friends for you. Wait a minute. I thought if God didn't want them in my life, he would just kill them. Where are my students at? Where are my 15-year-olds begging mom and dad to let you date 16-year-olds that maybe you have permission, or maybe you got another 2 years until 18. Do whatever mom and dad says. But I'm going to tell you something. God will not choose for you who you date. God doesn't pick your friends, you do. God doesn't decide who you date, you do. God doesn't decide who you marry, you do. Oh no, Pastor, it was love at first sight. I was in a prayer meeting and got up and turned around, and there he stood. You still decided. I'm not saying that God doesn't allow people to cross our paths and put us into proximity with people and give us opportunity to meet people and to make connections, but ultimately I am going to make the decision, and that's why I have to have discernment and I have to have wisdom, and those are things that I have to ask God for every single day, not because I run out of yesterday's wisdom or run out of yesterday's discernment. Paul said, I die every single day. Why? Because my flesh is so alive, and it's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to misstep, and there is nothing more consequential than making a wrong step in my relationships. And so I ask God to help. That's why it's so important for me to know who I am and what God has for me, so that when people come along, I get to decide whether or not they fit the criteria for where I'm going in my life. That doesn't mean I cannot love them from a distance, but if I do not allow them into my inner circle, because I get to discern with God's help who it is that can help me fulfill the purpose and who it is that helps me achieve the goal of that purpose in my life. Just week one, we just talking. So hold on to this today. Hold on to this throughout this series, the next few weeks. Not alone, not everyone. Not alone, not everyone. And we're going somewhere, and I'm excited about it. I don't want you to miss March the 10th. March the 10th, I think it's March the 10th. March the 10th, it's just about 4 weeks from right now. We're gonna have a great marriage night and relationship night. In fact, that entire weekend is going to be fantastic. But we're planning right now and preparing. We're gonna have some tickets available starting next Sunday for the March 10th relationship night. And it's people that are married, it's people that are engaged, it's people who are dating serious and wondering, hey, is this for me? Unfortunately, it's not for people looking or searching, but it's going to be a great, great night, and I want every one of our married couples, everyone in relationship, to block that date out on the calendar and make plans to be with us, because it's going to bless. Not alone. Not everyone. Say that with me. Say, not alone, not everyone. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So Paul is teaching. He said, I don't want you to assume. I also don't want you to be deceived. And you say, slow down, Pastor Darrell. I mean, who is trying to mislead us? Well, let's start with the devil. His goal is still to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan. So when he wants to get involved in relationships, he's only got three options to work with. I'm either going to steal from them, I'm going to kill them, or I'm going to destroy them. So Paul said, do not be misled. The devil is busy. But what about them? Maybe that person is misleading. Maybe that person is deceptive. Have you ever gotten to know someone just a little better and have been fooled by them? You ever peel a layer back and say, whoo, wow, I'm glad this did not go any further. I am glad, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You protected me, you guarded me, you kept me. Thank you, Lord, because they were misleading. That's the devil who will deceive. That's that person who will deceive. But what about you? The Bible says our heart is deceitful above all. And we're over here saying, I know he's wrong for me, but he's just so cute. I know she's not good for me, but see, she's a brick. House. And we start making decisions based on other things and not discernment. So Paul said, do not be misled. Don't be misled, because if they bad, the bad is gonna get on you. If they're up to no good, they're going to do no good to you. So don't be misled. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I love Proverbs 12 and 26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. You see, what I've learned is that when I make a decision, it's never just about me. It's never even just about that one decision, because there is a ripple effect. Every decision I make affects three other people: my wife, my daughter, my son. Every decision I make, it affects you, the church that I'm privileged to lead. So if I'm making wrong decisions, if I'm making wrong choices, that's why I want to be intentional about being in church. I've said it already this year, but I say it again this second Sunday of February. Be intentional about being in God's house. I know there's work schedules. I know there's vacations and getting away, but be intentional about being in God's house, because there is a ripple effect. When you make a decision, I am going to be in the house of the Lord. Guess what? That ripple effect extends to your kids. It extends to your spouse if perchance they do not share your faith or passion to serve the Lord. It extends on out to your friends and on out to your family. And when you understand there is a ripple effect to every decision I make and every choice I make, then you start to understand why the enemy would fight your decisions so hard. You start understanding why he keeps his nose in your business, because he knows that when you make good choices, those choices end up blessing other people. The wise man said, the righteous is a guide to his neighbor. My good choices guide neighbors or those who are close to me. But here's the pressure. The pressure comes in the second half of that verse. If I don't do my job, then the wicked are waiting to what? Lead them astray. I told y'all math is hard. Relationships are difficult. It's the arithmetic of relationships. And so with all of that as a backdrop, let's talk about our relationships over the next few weeks, because they absolutely matter. And I'll go as far as to say that if you're not winning in your relationships, you'll feel like you're losing everywhere else. If you're not winning in your relationships, you will feel like you are losing everywhere else. You know how it is, married couples. You have a fight with your wife early in the morning. It affects the rest of your day. You at work fussing with people you don't normally fuss with. What in the world is going on with you? If our relationships, if we're not winning in our relationships, then we feel like we're losing everywhere else. So let me explain this a little bit that's on screen. So I want you to know where we're going in this series. And I bet that you know people who need this, and maybe you're already making a list. I need to invite, we were just talking about this at work the other day. I'm gonna make sure they're here next Sunday because they need this. And I don't normally telegraph the series I'm teaching or the path, but some of y'all look triggered, so you look nervous. I want you to feel safe. The truth is there are four kinds of people who have come and are coming into your life. I can't say that more emphatically. They've either already shown up or they are on their way. No, Pastor, you must be talking about some people. No, four kinds of people who have come and are coming into your life. Who are they? They are subtractors, they are adders, they are dividers, and they are multipliers. The subtractors, they take strength from you. Adders, they encourage you and make you better. Dividers, they separate you from the right people. And then multiplier, they provide resources to you and unite you with others for a common purpose. Four kinds of people who have come. That means they're there right now. You can attach a name to every one of these. I'm not asking you to blurt it out. I'm not asking you to... Oh, you know who he's... That right there. That's them. They're either in our lives or they're coming into our lives. So today, I just have a few moments. I want to talk to you about subtractors. Because subtractors take strength from us. There is a difference in you giving strength to someone and someone taking strength from you. Allow me to be personal for a moment. Throughout my ministry, when I have felt led to pray it, and it's a very specific feeling, it's one that I am in tune with. When I feel led to pray it, I have asked God to give my strength to someone else because they needed it. I'm 50 now. He doesn't ask me to do that nearly as often. because I'm needing it more and more. But it's a marked difference when I feel led to pray that, ask God to take my strength and give it to someone else. I'll feel exhausted for days. I'll spend hours feeling like I barely lift my head up off the couch cushion. Because God honors that. He led me to pray it for a reason. Someone needed strength. And so God borrowed from me and deposited into someone else. That's one thing. That's one thing, to give your strength to someone. Altogether, something different for someone to take strength from you. And when you're dealing with subtractors, it's not about being selfish, but rather it is being a good steward of the energy and the life that God has given me. Because you have to recognize that there are only 24 hours in a day. You have to recognize that there is only so much of you to go around. And therefore, if I am discerning, if I'm being led in wisdom, then I'm going to know who I should invest my time and my strength into. And I realize some selfish people may have just checked out because this is completely foreign. Because selfish people feel entitled. They deserve it on demand. I have to be careful telling stories because I'm still new here, but there was one person that had my phone number, which is not a problem, but it was often in the evening time. Now, I get it. Some people are working while I'm working. I keep office hours. I'm here obviously on Sundays, Mondays through Thursdays, Fridays, our office is closed, and I really, really try to protect my Sabbath as much as possible. It's not always possible, but I really do work hard to keep my Sabbath as best I can. But I get it. Some people are not available during the day. I do meetings throughout the day. Sometimes there's a counseling session in the evening or just pastoral work because people are not available during the day. But it was too frequent. Late in the evening, my phone blowing up with text messages and text messages and text messages. And it didn't matter if I was cooking dinner. It didn't matter if I was engaged into something with kids, or if we were out as a family, or God forbid, I was just watching my favorite show. That would be the barrage of text messages or phone calls, and if I didn't answer fast enough, and I'm talking about minutes, I'm talking about a short amount of time, if I didn't answer fast enough, it was, well, it's obvious you don't love me and the church doesn't care about me. That's called manipulation, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Darrell, don't do that. It's obvious. You don't care about what I'm going through. No, I was trying to grill a burger and it's about to burn. Can you just hold on a moment? I didn't know this text was going to come in. I didn't know it was going to happen. What is wrong with people that we feel entitled, that we demand a response immediately? I turned 50, y'all. It's a problem. I am doing right what I want to do. Not bothered about it at all. But I'll give you a side note. It's easier to invest into people who are invested themselves. And I understand there are people that have need and crisis, and I hope you know, if you're our guest today, I'm not unkind. Ask somebody, they'll tell you I'm not. But at the same time, you've got to recognize who the subtractors are. You got to recognize who is just trying to manipulate your time and your energy. Because I've found something in life. I've found something. The most productive people, and ironically, the most generous people, the people who help other people the most, are people who steward well their energy and lives. It's just a law. And yes, they're going to be misunderstood along the way. But they know not to do life alone. And they also know not to do life with everyone. Now, let me give you some disclaimers before I get out of here. Subtractors are not bad people necessarily. Nor are they always out to hurt you. Sometimes subtractors just have no self-awareness. Maybe they are selfish at their core. The issue lies in their expectations of what you should do for them. They demand your time, they demand your energy, they demand useless meetings because they feel a sense of entitlement that you belong to them, you owe them. And the truth is, you'll find out how committed they are when you set a boundary. As soon as you set a boundary, you're going to find out where they stand. Often, they're only there as long as they are getting something from you. And that's why you need discernment. I'm investing in this person. Is there going to be a return on this investment? Is something good going to come out of this? Is the time I'm investing into them, is it going to yield spiritual fruit in their life? Is it going to bring about change in their life? Listen, if I see you moving toward God, you can have me in the middle of the night, anytime. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's see God do miracle, wonder, working, incredible things in your life. But we need discernment. We need discernment. I see you taking notes, Mr. Julius, but I need you to come help me preach for just a moment. Don't forget what you were writing, because I know I want you to write it down. Come help me just a minute. My brother, this perfect example of what I said earlier today. Best of times, worst of times. He's clean every single Sunday. I'm slacking. God help me. But if I see my friend, and he looks so sharp today, so I think, man, he's successful. He's got it going on. This is a man who knows something about life, beautiful wife, family, and you know what? I'm going to stick my straw into him. And I'm going to suck the life out of him. I'm just going to keep finding new places. Got some money I can borrow? Hey, you take me to lunch? And if we had time, thank you. Would you give him a hand today? If we had time today, I'd get multiple people with multiple straws coming and sucking the life out of him. But you see, if you're not careful, you'll end up with a deficit in other areas of your life because all of your energy is being used up. So I'm going to give you good advice today. But it's not easy to swallow advice. If there are people trying to leave your life, don't beg them to stay. And I know somebody right now is trying, wait a minute, how do I make that work against the word? I've got to be long-suffering, and I've got to be patient with people. Yes. I'm not talking about cutting people off. I'm talking about walking down roads and going around bends and dealing with people. Say, wait a minute, they're not getting this. They're not maturing, they're not growing. And so I want them to be helped. I've just had to realize that I may not be their helper. Bishop Jakes used to preach a sermon called "When Helping You Is Hurting Me." That's a good word if you can find it on YouTube somewhere. Sometimes the best thing I can do for someone is allow them to go. I'll always encourage. I do it every Sunday, every opportunity. I'll do it today. Don't be offended. I'm going to encourage somebody. I don't know if you'll hear me. I don't know if you'll take my advice, but you need to be in a small group. You need to get in a group. You need to be in a setting where you can have conversation and make connections and build friendships and relationships and make connections with people so that iron can sharpen iron. And please, please, please hear your friends when they tell you, hey, I can see something that you cannot see. I love Mark chapter 5. I'm done. I don't have time to preach it, but I love it. Read it this week in your devotion time. Mark 5. And verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in that crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I just felt someone stick a straw in me. And I felt strength, virtue, power go out of me. Who got it? Who was in need? Who was desiring? And that little lady said, "It was me, Lord. It's me." Her life was never the same. Because when you can bless someone with strength, and they take that strength and they run with it into new life and into new blessing, and to God's purpose. Man, when the motive is pure, your strength can make a difference in someone's life. And that's what you want. People that are sucking the life out of you. People who are always borrowing, always demanding of you, but never available to you. I help so many people move that when it came time for us to move, I'm gonna find out who my real friends are. We'll find out. Hey, you remember them 4 times I helped you move? What you doing this Saturday? Oh, you busy, huh? Click. Subtractors. Father, Sometimes the relationship teaching is challenging because it's raw and it's real and it cuts deep. It forces us to look in that mirror of self-reflection and inspection to understand, where am I investing the best of myself? And in whom am I investing the best of my time? I'm not encouraging a block party. I'm not suggesting an unfriend fest. But Lord, what might happen if everybody in this room, if everybody online today would just say, Lord, give us discernment. Because I feel so much purpose on my life for this year. I feel such a mandate. I don't want anything to slow me down. I don't want anything to keep me from being who you've called me to be, from doing what you've asked me to do. And so I want your wisdom, and I want your guidance, and I want your direction for my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I feel God's peace in this room. I feel God's strength in this room. He helps us. He provides for us. And He makes a way. Say it one time.
All I want is for you, for you to be glorified,
yes, Lord,
for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be.
Better today? You feel stronger? Amen. Come next Sunday. We're going to talk about adders next Sunday, and it'll bless you. It'll encourage you. You want people in your life that add value, make a difference. And you know what? You want to be an adder in someone else's life. You don't want to be a subtractor in someone's life. God, help me. God, help me to know what I need to know today, in Jesus' name.